Have you ever felt that you're not good enough? I know I have. Not feeling good enough seems like a chronic challenge women have. It doesn't matter how successful or smart you are, or even if you're a mental health therapist like my guest today. Now she's saying enough is enough and has created an entire movement around I am enough. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today, coming up in the podcast, our guest, Megan Fenyo, gets vulnerable sharing how, as a mental therapist treating trauma and abuse patients, she got sucked into a narcissistic relationship that shook her to her core. We're going to talk with Megan Fenyo in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. In today's podcast, my guest and I talk about not feeling good enough. She is the founder, after all, of the I Am Enough movement. We talk about a lot of topics during the podcast, but when you dig a little deeper, you'll discover that the basis often comes down to not feeling good enough. So for this mini masterclass, I'm going to cover freedom fulfillment pillar number 4, asking confidently for what you want. If you don't feel you're enough, if you feel doubt about your beliefs and what you believe to be true about you, do you think you'll be able to ask confidently for what you want? No. Think of the times you wanted to ask for something that was important to you. You wanted to voice your opinion. You wanted someone to hear you, but then it never happened because all this stuff started rattling in your head and you never opened your mouth to express yourself. Does that sound familiar? That's what happened to me for over 25 years. The ask literally got kicked out of me. I was terrified to ask a question. I had been yelled at and ridiculed so many times by my now former husband that I was filled with terror. I would shake in fear. I tried not to ask, but it was hard not to be me. It was like I had to try to force myself to keep my mouth shut. I mean, what kind of a life is that, right? Gosh, after my escape and even later when I started my business and then started dipping my toe into dating, I had a hard time asking people to work with me or voicing my desires and what I wanted in a relationship or really anything where I had to put myself out there. Not being able to ask infiltrated my entire life, not just my personal life. I wouldn't even ask the waiter to take back the plate that wasn't prepared as I wanted. It was frustrating. I wasn't truly experiencing the freedom I wanted. Even after that escape, I mean, I got my physical freedom, but that turned out to be the easy part. The only way to feel freedom is to feel free in your mind through your own thoughts, beliefs, and feelings. And it would take me a while before I got there and felt really free. And that's why this topic is so important. I'm going to share with you 5 tips to get you started today so that you can confidently ask for what you want, but also so that you can show up empowered and feel confident in all situations. Number 1, know your values. You need to identify what's important to you to be able to stand in your power. If you don't know what's important to you, that just opens up the gates for you to be taken advantage of. Like, no more. No more of that. Two, know and honor your boundaries. You need to know how you want to be treated by others. You need to know what you will and will not accept and how you want to be treated. And that's up to you. You're teaching others how you want to be treated. And this may seem obvious, but it wasn't at all obvious to me. And it hasn't been obvious to my clients either. So don't judge yourself if you're unclear on your boundaries and how you want to be treated. Most of my clients in the beginning have only a vague understanding of boundaries. They get it conceptually, so you probably get it conceptually too, but have a hard time actually implementing it. But it's critical. Three, know what you want to ask for. And that might sound like, what? But it's like, I'm talking about myself, girl. I'm just talking about myself. It's like, I could feel that something was wrong. I could feel that it's like, I wanted to get something out of my mouth. I was like, but nothing was really clear. It's like, it just wouldn't come out. You can't ask for something unless you can articulate what it is you are wanting. I'm like, right? Makes sense. But it's often easier said than done, right? Again, I know I wanted to ask and it was like, sounds crazy that you can't articulate it, but there's so many thoughts going on in your mind, you can't figure out what it is you really want to say. And that's why it's so important to have someone guide you to articulate what you're wanting and how to frame it. So I get it. It's all okay. You're not alone. You're just not alone. But you can't ask unless you know what you want to ask for. And number four, so important, is know why you want to ask for it. Understand why this particular thing, this particular ask is important for you or for others. And because when you do, when you know your why, it's going to give you more courage and conviction to go through with the action of actually asking or voicing your thoughts. Because you're going to be holding on to that why. That why is so important to you. So even if you feel a little fear, you're going to be able to push through that when you know the why. Number five, ask for help. You're probably great at helping others when they ask. You're the first person there to help. You don't even think twice when they ask. And you don't see anything wrong when they ask for something. It doesn't even cross your mind. But when it comes to you, it's a different story, right? You forget to ask for help even, thinking that somehow you should know what to do. Or you don't ask because you have all these thoughts, all these stories going in your head, like all sound needy or all seem rude. You make up all these untrue stories, but you don't think they're untrue. So just do yourself a favor and ask for help now. Know that asking for help is a sign of courage, not weakness. And we're building our courage here. This whole thing is about building up the courage. Brilliant minds like yours know that you accomplish more and more easily when you get that support and guidance. Look, growth comes from doing new things. New things can feel uncomfortable, of course. So rather than let fear control you, which only makes you feel small and more diminished, you know those feelings. Instead, allow and accept the uncomfortable feelings in the short term so that you can experience that growth and confidence and what you want in the long term. It's a beautiful thing. So my dear friend, that's it for today's mini masterclass. And today you can get the entire guide how to confidently ask for what you want by going to www.theloveiskindnetwork.com/podcast ask. That's theloveiskindnetwork.com/podcast ask. The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. Today, we're going to meet Megan Fenyu, a mental health and trauma therapist, a former captain in the Air Force, and founder of the I Am Enough movement. As she gets vulnerable and messy about her own narcissistic relationship so that you too can learn to believe that you are enough, that you are perfect the way you are, and you can create the steps to transform your life one day at a time. Megan will be here in a moment, and first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to Megan Fenyu, founder of the I Am Enough movement. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Megan Fenyu. Welcome, Megan, my dear. I'm so thrilled to see you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always so good to see you.
I'm going to tell our listener a little bit about you before you tell us more about you.
Yeah.
So Megan Fenyu is an Air Force veteran, licensed clinical mental health therapist, speaker and trainer, host of the Blonde Bombshell podcast and I Am Enough TV, plus founder of the international I Am Enough movement, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. She is also an Amazon bestselling author and recently published her book, You Are Enough, 5 Steps to Move from Struggle to Strength. She has been featured on Sirius XM Radio, including The Jenny McCarthy Show and over 300 TV, radio shows, and podcasts. Through coaching, leadership consulting, and speaking engagements, Megan has helped hundreds of people accurately assess their challenges and identify ways they can change, capitalizing on the strengths they already have while building new ones. That is fabulous. Welcome again to the podcast, Megan.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being on my shows. You've been on the Blonde Bombshell and I Am Enough TV.
Well, thank you. It's been fun. Fun to help each other grow and help others. And you've come a long way as well. I mean, talking about capitalizing on strengths.
All in 2 years, if you can believe. Everything you read was in the last 2 years, so.
But you've had quite an amazing background too. You're a powerful woman. So just bring our listener up to date about what you do, what you've been doing, and how you're making an impact.
My main passion and my focus right now is the I Am Enough movement. It's keeping me super busy because I have no idea what it means to run a nonprofit.
And I know the kind of work you do, and I've seen already the impact you've had. It's been really fabulous. So
thank you.
So before, or during all of this, before that most recent one, there was something that happened, you were in a relationship that kind of made you look at things differently and kind of like said, gosh, I never felt I was enough. So can you share a little bit more about that relationship so they get a picture and where you're from there?
Yeah. So at the age of 34, I had commissioned as an officer in the Air Force and moved from Michigan to California. And I was providing mental health treatment to active duty members. I was a captain and wasn't looking for a husband, but lo and behold, there he showed up and found myself in a whirlwind of a relationship. And we were married within 11 months. And there was some red flags dating, but I really didn't pay attention to those. But there were a ton of red flags after we got married. He just started to change. I caught him, catching him in a lot of lies. He ended up having an affair for 14 months of our 2.5-year marriage.
Oh, dear.
He kicked me out of our house twice. He filed for divorce 4 times and pulled the papers. just very narcissistic abuse, some physical abuse, but for me, it was the emotional trauma that really like rocked my core. And even as a mental health therapist, I did not really understand the scope of what was going on because he made me feel like everything was my fault. You know, like I was the one that caused the affair. I was the one that caused him to lie. I was the crazy one. He never told me I wasn't good enough, but I created that story in my head based on his actions and behaviors. And so little by little, I started losing the sense of who I was and my self-esteem. Although on the outside, honestly, like people probably wouldn't even notice it. My close friends obviously did, but I tried to keep it together and I kept working and just really didn't take care of myself. And he finally filed for divorce in 2016. And I ended up remaining faithful and committed to him for 2 years after that because I was just in this manic mode of like, it's all my fault. I just got to do this better. You know, and he kept dating me. We kept seeing each other and he was making these promises and, you know, just kept me on this string. And I eventually moved from Northern California, where we lived, down to San Diego and still was staying in touch with him. And the last big incident occurred in February of 2018. And I had, long story short, had basically found out that he had moved in another girl a month before our divorce was final. And she had been living in our home for 2 years while he was with me. I had never gone back to the house after the divorce, so I didn't even know she lived there. And because he'd always come to my house or we meet in public. And we were like dating, and I didn't even know this woman existed.
Wow.
4 months before that, I had lost my six-figure income as well as a therapist. So February 15th of 2018, I basically kicked him out of the house. It was not a pretty interaction, but I kicked him out and I have had no contact with him since, at least on my side, you know, of course, because he's a narcissistic abusive man. He still continues to contact me, but I have not returned any messages. And so there I was, like literally had lost everything, my six-figure income and this man that I literally thought was the man of my dreams. And I was like, I am literally nothing. I have nothing. I am not nothing. I am nothing. I am not good enough. What am I going to do? And so I ended up getting into therapy, my own therapist, mm-hmm. And started really doing the difficult trauma work to rebuild me and find that closure. And the big thing for me was not finding the closure from him because I was never going to get that closure.
Right. That's right.
It was so profound when I came to that realization that the closure was going to be closing the woman I had become when I was with him. Mm-hmm. And once I was able to do that and say like, this woman no longer exists, that is kind of when I really started to get into my healing work and started writing like affirmations and things like on sticky notes and had them kind of all over the place and was using that as a way to combat my negative thoughts into positive. And I also began writing. So I never thought that I would be a writer, but wrote my best-selling book, you know, within those 5 months of my trauma work. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it is. Like the last 2 years, the book and then, you know, the movement and all of this stuff has happened in the last 2 years. I have a private mental health practice and all of that stuff. So it's been a whirlwind and it was 6 years of my life that I don't blame myself for staying in it. A lot of people I think that deal with these type of relationships, abusive relationships, there's some guilt and there's some blame about why did I stay in so long? And I know that you've talked about that too on my shows. And I really didn't have that because I allowed, like the big word for me during all of this trauma work was grace. And I had to give myself grace and be okay with the fact that like I was traumatized. And even though I'm a therapist, like I'm human and that's okay to have stayed as long as I did. And so
Yeah. Well, and I think it's, you know, it's good to hear that because there is a lot of blame and shame and guilt and the could-is and the should-is. Oh, if I was just better, if I could have just loved him better. I mean, you hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. And you tried. I definitely tried. I mean, even, you know, my story. I mean, I was married almost 25 years and planned this international escape. And even within, you know, in that 4 month 4 month period before, I kept trying. It's like, okay, maybe, you know, it's just like that hope. And to hear you as a, you know, somebody who's trained and a therapist is like, remember, we're all human. And I think just by your stories that you're giving people permission not to shame themselves, not to blame themselves, not to be guilt. And I just want to thank you for being vulnerable to share that, to help others come out of their shell of this whole thing. Now, it still means they need to take the steps to do that.
Yeah.
But at least that's such an opening.
Mm-hmm.
That's such an opening.
It is. Yeah. And there's, when I was writing the book, it's the 5 steps to move from struggle to strength. And so those steps were the steps that I actually went through when I was doing my trauma work. I know that they work. And if it wasn't for that, I would still be stuck. Even today, I still struggle with like limiting self-beliefs and at times believing that I'm not enough, which is why, you know, I created the movement because I'm human. And the more that we can be honest with ourselves and say, hey, I am a hot mess half the time and I don't have it together and that's okay, the more grace and kindness that we're able to give ourselves.
That is so beautiful because I think that's the other thing. We, like you said before, you know, I showed up really well on the outside.
Yeah.
I think that's just such a huge thing. We try to keep it together. And even now when we're out, we still try to keep things together. We try to project what it is, forgetting that we're human.
Yeah.
I remember when my therapist told me, she said, it's a normal human reaction to be feeling crazy, to feel upset when somebody is basically terrorizing you, which is what that kind of behavior is.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, I'm normal. I'm having a normal human reaction. I mean, it's like, oh, it's like the first time I realized I was human.
Exactly, right? It makes you feel like you're not, like you are not all of those things. And you don't realize like how it truly affects you when people say that, right? Like, cause I always thought, oh, it's in one ear, out the other, but it like people could see it, my belief in what he was telling me in my actions and in my behaviors and being irritated and on edge all the time and all of that.
Every episode, I offer a mini masterclass on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. You can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and hit the subscribe button to get your copy. The only way to move forward and have an impact in your life is to get awareness of where you're at and discover what's holding you back. Following the 11 pillars, I was then able to develop strategies to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life, and I use these pillars every day to create a fulfilled life. These are the same ones that I use with my clients. And now they are yours free. Go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And we're back with Megan Fenyo, therapist and leader of the I Am Enough movement.
It's a defining moment when you can finally get to that place of acceptance and be like, oh my gosh, like I am not all of these things. Like I am perfectly imperfect.
Yes. And I think that is such an important message to really highlight with these women. Now, did you have any health issues as a result of that?
Oh yeah. It's funny because I am a blonde and, but I do, you know, I get my hair done like every 5 weeks because of the gray, but I did notice definitely my hair, the stress levels, like I was way more gray. I definitely was working out way too much and not eating healthy. So I was a lot smaller. I just wasn't taking care of myself because what I did was I was working full time. And then I opened a private practice and started a network marketing business. So after, when I learned about the affair, instead of getting help, I just got busy. And I was working like 60, 65 hours a week, not eating. I was drinking a lot of alcohol, like not like have an alcohol problem, but like, you know, going out with my friends too much. And, you know, and then I was having these other two businesses and not sleeping. And yeah, it was just, it was insane. And the funniest thing is I didn't notice it but it was about 3 months after I walked away from my ex, and someone had seen me in, maybe it was like 6 months or something like that, and they didn't know what had happened. And they said, "Megan, like, what has happened? Like, you just look so different. Your skin, your face, just the way that you carry yourself." And I was like, "Really?" Mm-hmm. And as time has gone on, like, my family has told me that too, like, just how on edge I, like, I didn't realize any of that. And it was just crazy. So yeah, I mean, my entire like physical health was a mess. I was getting sick all the time. It was crazy.
Yeah. And I was just talking to somebody earlier, the same thing. You know, like, when you're in it, you just like, you're aged. And then yes, when you get released, even though you haven't done all the trauma work, you're just like this new freedom of, yeah, of being able to be you. But at the same time, you know, all these health things that we tend to ignore, I think women don't put it together. They don't match it that their relationship is causing these physical issues.
Yes.
And like you, your coping mechanism was being really busy and working.
Yes.
That was mine too. I was just like, I felt if I was not just on going forward and moving, I was going to fall down.
Yep.
So I just kept going so I wouldn't fall down.
Yep. And I'm still like that, but I try to pay attention because I'm still in therapy, you know, because I love my therapist. And so she's kind of like my accountability partner, to like, and saying like, "Hey, are you doing all of this because something else is going on?" And sometimes maybe yes, but like now, no, like, but I love that I'm able to kind of look at that and say, okay, am I staying this busy because I'm trying to avoid something? Mm-hmm. And, you know, cause usually it's the polar opposite. Mm-hmm. You're not getting out of bed because you're trying to avoid something.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, so.
Yeah, exactly. What did you have challenges about either during or in your process too of learning how to ask for what you want and how to express that?
I still have problems with that.
And how to receive, right? And how to receive, right? These are some of the challenges, yeah, that we go through, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a total empath and I'm a therapist. So I have that heart to help other people and to always go above and beyond and not expect things in return. But there has been some times to the point where I was hiding, like at the end, like the last year, I was kind of hiding to my friends that I was still talking to him and this and that. So I couldn't go to them when I needed them. My friends were always there during this whole process. And so for that, I'm very lucky. I never felt like I couldn't, except when I started hiding it to them, but like, I never felt like I couldn't call them or anything like that. But now it's especially like dealing with like the nonprofit and stuff, like asking for help. Mm-hmm. I still struggle with it because I feel like I've been so independent for so long. And I've been through not just that trauma with my ex, but you know, I grew up in a very abusive home and I have a learning disability and all of this stuff. I just kind of feel like I've just been on my own for so long that it is difficult for me to ask for help, but the nonprofit is teaching me to do that more because I can't do it on my own. And there's things that I want to do to help, you know, domestic violence survivors. And so that helps me ask for help because it's not actually for me, it's for other people. But
that's,
yeah,
a good start.
I know, it's a good start. Yeah.
we'll give you a couple points for, yeah, that, girl. But seriously, this is part of the challenge that I find that women have is, mm-hmm, one, they don't even think to ask. That's one. Two, when it's like, oh, okay, this is what I want or need or something, then they don't even know how to articulate it. So there's these big hurdles. And when you've been put down, your ability to ask has just been crushed. Mm-hmm. So you already have some maybe weaknesses and then it just becomes a big snowball.
I just wanted to say that because as you were saying that, for some reason, this image popped into my head. I remember because I ended up having to move like 6 times within 6 years of me being with him because he kicked me out of the house twice and asked for me back and I moved back and blah, blah. And I remember that he only helped me move once. And one of the times he literally sat in the living room as I was moving all my stuff. And it's funny that you just said that because what it hit in my head was, that's why I have a hard time asking people to help me to move. Because like, I haven't moved in a while, but I was kind of like thinking back and I was like, yeah, like I've been in California for 9 years. And I've always had a hard time, especially after him, asking people to help me to move.
Because you made that association.
Yeah.
Moving is no one's going to help me for sure.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely hear you. Well, on the flip side is receiving, yeah. You know, I remember, you know, in the beginning it's like, oh, he's so kind. I didn't know how to receive exactly what I wanted. I didn't know how to receive the kindness because I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust him. And it felt weird.
Yeah.
Having somebody to be kind to you felt weird. And that we don't want women to push kindness away. Did you have a similar experience?
I think for me, I think the biggest challenge obviously is asking for help. The kindness, I feel in a way, I don't feel like I struggled with that because maybe it's because I am a therapist and like, I've always like felt like I was good at what I did, even though he like, in mm-hmm. a way made me feel crazy. The kindness from men, like dating. Oh yeah. Like that's a whole nother story. Like,
and
I don't believe
that.
Mean. Oh yeah. 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 Oh yeah. No. I don't believe there's hardly any trust issue. Like there's hardly any trust right now with dating or anything like that. I literally, there's nothing. So yeah, I should have been like, are you talking about men or not? But cannot, you know, asking for help and receiving compliments and kindness from men is difficult, especially because I feel like I might fall too hard with the kindness because that's what my ex did. My ex was picture perfect narcissist. He flooded me with gifts. He gave me the best compliments and all of these things. And I just fell head over heels for him. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely difficult for me to receive because I don't want to fall back into that.
Of course. So there's still lots of journey that we still, you know, women still need to go on. And mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
And it is a journey and it is your own journey as we each keep going through that. So what self-care habits have you developed now?
Oh, I love self-care. Although I'm going to be honest, because I always like to be authentic and real. I don't do self-care as much as I should. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge workout junkie. So life has kind of taken a turn the last couple of months because I was in a really bad car accident. So I haven't been able to work out as I've wanted. And now we're in isolation, but my roommate is my accountability partner. So my self-care is like getting up in the morning and doing something like on the TV, some type of workout, also going for a walk every day. I love my quiet time. I love just mm-hmm. turning on, like I'm a Christian, so I love my Christian music and just having like worship time. I love like to do adult coloring books, like, you know, like the color stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love my affirmations.
Yeah.
So I'm actually starting to do some visual coping card, like a spiral note card book, mm-hmm. Now that I'm in isolation with some quotes and things like that. So I love anything that like is inspirational or quotes, anything that can just, I can just rest my mind and just do something that literally doesn't make me have to think.
So can I give an affirmation to you?
Yes, please.
You are enough.
And you know what? I appreciate that. And I believe that. I do. I truly do.
The reason I want to say that is like, oh yeah, self-care, but you know, I'm not really doing it as much. And I'm listening to everything that you are doing. And I would say you're probably doing way more than the average person.
I know. It's a little crazy.
So, you know, I think it's because these are kind of, maybe it's just the women I attract, the women we are. It's like, we're so much alike. It's like, we have such a standard that we keep. It's like we never feel enough because we know we can do so much more, but we have to put that into perspective that we are enough to keep repeating that I am enough and I am human and every step I take is on my path to healing and creating the life that I deserve.
Exactly. And I love that you just said that because I was actually talking about that with my therapist this week because she was asking me like, how am I doing being at home and all of this stuff? And I said, to be honest, I'm really trying to embrace it because I realized, and this was like an aha moment for me in the last week, that I realized that I feel like enough when I'm busy. Mm. And I don't want to feel like that. Like, I am enough no matter what I do. If I lay on the couch, if I do this or do that. And so I've been in the house, it'll be 2 weeks on Friday. I've been out twice and I'm really embracing that. Like, I'm really embracing, like, it's okay if I sit on the couch all day and I'm enough. Like, I know what I'm doing and I'm helping people and I don't have to be doing it every single minute of the day. I'm enough for me. And so it's been great. It's been a great learning experience for me over the last couple of days because of everything that's going on and just being okay with just being. And being
exactly.
Still.
Exactly. So it's not doing enough. It's the state of being. And that's a state that means that's who you are. I am enough. That's the verb to be.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, so it's perfect, right?
Yeah.
It's just perfect. And it's interesting how we are doing this work to train our own self, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. All the time.
All the time. And it's just so beautiful. And I really appreciate you sharing that. Okay. I wanted to see, can you talk a little bit to really starting to know your own truth? I know I went through different stages on that path.
Well, it's funny because I also am in the midst of writing my second book, which has obviously taken a seat back just because of everything that's going on with the nonprofit. But one of the chapters talks about owning your truth. And it's basically like unapologetically owning who you are. So the truth is, I'm a hot mess and I own that, right? I just love using the word hot mess, right? Because like I'm sitting here and I'm sweating right now. Like I've got armpit sweat going on and like I sweat all the time and I'm always like here, there, everywhere. And half the time I'm not like, my hair is not done and I'm okay with that. And so that is me like living in my truth. And I also think about that as my values, right? So my top three values are authenticity, integrity, and honesty. And so for me, living in my truth means that I'm living in my values. Again, I'm human. And so there's days and times where I do not live in my values. But for the most part, me living in my truth means that I am adhering to my values.
I love that you said, you know, these are my values. I'm living into my values. And I think so many women don't even know what their values are. And you know that. And again, you keep repeating, which is, I think it needs to be repeated a million times. I am human. Sometimes I don't live in my values. And to keep giving that permission that it's like, okay, you know, maybe I got upset and snapped at somebody but it's not. It's not who you are. It's just that's a moment in time. It's always looking at the behavior. That's what I always look.
And
it's always a pattern of behavior, right?
Exactly. And the more important thing is how do you deal with it when it's done?
Yes.
Right. So like if I snap at my roommate, if I don't acknowledge it, that's the problem. I'm not living in my truth. But if I acknowledge it and say, hey, Jackie, like I just kind of like flipped out on you or like got angry at you. And, you know, I apologize for that, right? That's me still living in my truth because I'm having integrity by acknowledging that I screwed up and apologizing for it. So even when you do mess up, you can still live in your truth depending on how you react to it after.
That's yes, absolutely. And it's, and again, these are, I think as they're listening, it's like, oh yeah, I can just hear and go, yes. Oh yeah. I like that. And they can just really relate to themselves because everything just gives them permission that nothing is wrong with them.
Exactly.
Right? Nothing is wrong with you. You went through a bad situation. Yep. You're hopefully out of it now. If you're not, you know there's a path to that because you deserve to be treated with kindness, respect, thoughtfulness, and to know always that you are enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a state. You don't have to do anything to be enough. And that's why I love your movement so much. And I think so
Yay.
Many people, so many people, you know, can really relate to that. Mm-hmm. I fully support that. So with the Love is Kind movement, the I Am Enough movement, we're just going to create lots of love and really empowered women. Empowered women to do that. Do you have any other insights that you can share on your path to maybe, you said maybe not so much forgiveness, but just your self-kindness, your self-compassion, mm-hmm. some of these other tools that maybe aren't talked about so much?
Oh, goodness. I have so many tools. You know, I've been a therapist for 15 years. But the cool thing is, if people go to my website, there's a ton of resources on my website that people can download for absolutely free. Forgiveness is a huge one. And I'm actually like writing about that in my second book, because I think so many people think that we have to forgive others, but when in fact we really have to forgive ourselves. And so anything that you can do to better your thoughts, right? Because our thoughts control our actions, our behaviors, everything. So the more you can practice kindness, whether it be like thought stopping, saying, oh wait, here's a negative thought, I shouldn't be thinking that, and learning to replace it with something positive, whether it be a visual coping skill or a favorite quote or a meditation, whatever, that is what's going to help you, right? And it's practice. So you have to keep practicing and practicing and practicing. And it's okay if you have some days where those skills that you are using don't work, because again, you're human. So there's going to be days where they work and days that they don't, and that's okay. But you have to keep practicing. So there's all kinds of stuff. There's different types of things to distract your mind. There's visual coping skills. There's meditation, you know, all kinds of different stuff that you can do to help with that kindness for yourself. So
what's been some of your favorite ones that you personally have done? I'm sure you used them all because you created those, but are there ones that you practice in particular that just get you really back and centered?
Oh my gosh, my vision board is in my bathroom. Mm-hmm. So it used to be, I made this vision. I actually have to make another one, but I made this vision board when I was going through the stuff with my, you know, when I walked away from my ex, and I was living alone at the time. So it was on my back door. So I saw it every day, but now it's in my bathroom and I love it because I see it every morning while I'm getting ready. And I mean, it's completely memorized, but my vision board is like a bunch of quotes mm-hmm. and different things. And so I look at that every morning. Obviously my cards, because I have like one in my car. I've got one here on the kitchen table. I've got the cards everywhere. And I like to pull
the cards say, I am enough.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. The cards say, I am enough.
Right.
And then on the back, it has the word because with three lines, and you can write why you believe you're enough. And they're free, so you can order them. So those, I'm a huge visual coping skill fanatic. So anything that I can see, that I can read, because that immediately distracts my negative thought and puts it on something that's positive.
Mm, I love that. So you mentioned that you had lots of resources on your website. How can they grab some of those resources?
You can just go to meganfenyo.com and it's under the resources tab. There's lots of good stuff on there. There's some webinars, lots of free downloads, like my top 100 positive affirmations are on there. And a bunch of other stuff. So pretty much everything is free if you go there.
Oh, that's really, I really appreciate your generosity.
Of course.
So, and then you want to spell your last name for our listeners so they make sure they get it. It'll be in the show notes, but some people just, they want to hear it. So
they want to go right now. So it's Megan. And then my last name is F as in Frank, Enyoe.com.
And finally, what does Love is Kind mean to you? The Love is Kind movement was started with thinking that real love is kind, not terrorizing, not hurtful, not demeaning, not controlling. What does Love is Kind mean to you, Megan?
Love is kind to me. I always focus on the inner self. And for me, it's like kind of like my tagline, unapologetically owning who you are. That means that you're kind to yourself. And you're kind to other people because that's who you are. You know, like they're going to get you full force if you literally are the person who you are and you make no apologies. So love is kind is just living unapologetically.
I love that. Well, thank you. Thank you for your brilliance, for your energy, for your vulnerability, and showing others how they can become valuable in the process. Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything that you're doing in this world. You're an inspiration to me and for all your help, because you've really helped me as well with my nonprofit and all of the ideas. So thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. And we will continue to do that together.
Yes.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.